The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle, live in studio, waiting to take your calls on your health, anything you'd like to talk about. You know, perhaps you've tried, you've applied, you've done all kinds of things you can think of and come up with, you know, nothing that really works very well. Here's an opportunity. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on anything that's been bugging you or if we can push you in a different direction. However, in between your phone calls, we're going to talk about something that is important. And everything is important when it comes to your health, but importantly in that we have huge incidences, and we're not talking about something to necessarily kill you, well, maybe rarely, but more importantly, impairment and lack of function and inability to live your life the way you want to live them. So what are we talking about? We're talking about the incidence of hip and knee pain and how it can disable you and how it can make your life miserable. And in studio, your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, and your presenter and my guest today, Dr. Scott Lamp. Dr. Scott.
Hey, Tom. Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, I should say.
You know, I can't wake you up early enough for you to get it right.
Yeah, I know. I'm still working on it.
I know. It's an ugly thing, but you keep trying. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Listen, this incident, let's talk about hip and knee pain because, you know, in our practice, we see tons of people that come in with all kinds of pain, but hip and knee pain seems to be one of those things that if you ask people, do you have any hip pain? Of course I got hip pain. You know, it bothers me.
Right. It's a given. And I think one of the things that's interesting when you're talking about some things, it's like, you know, things don't take your life. This is shorten your life. I think one of the things that we can't move and have full freedom of movement, walking and things and all the benefits of all the things of being able to do basic exercises and good circulation for the body, it will shorten our lives. And I think that's something that this is a major problem, not only just from, you know, talking about the hip and the knee. Sometimes the hip and knee are sequelas from other places, things like from the ankle, from the back, and so on and so forth, and they seem to show up in the knee. So you want to take a focus and look at what's going on with yourself.
It's incredibly important to understand that we are bipeds. You know, we walk around on 2 feet, right? And to do that and to do it well, we've got to have locomotion and flexibility in that knee joint, the ankle joint, the hip joint. And then, you know, it's truly the situation where that old song, you know, the ankle bones connect to the knee bone, connect to the hip bone, and so forth. Then it is. They have a tremendous instability, and there's people who are predisposed. In today's world, you and I were talking about it earlier. More and more people are running off to get knee replacements and hip replacements and so forth. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. And this, you know, this is fixable. You don't have to get to that place if you act early. And then even if you protract it, there's still things you can do. Let's talk about, you know, how many people are really suffering with this? How many people are, you know, walking around with bad knees and bad hips?
Well, let's take a look at the fact, and you know, you take some of the stats out there. For example, on like knee replacements, they're looking at like something like 700,000 per year in knee replacements. And that doesn't mean that's the people getting replaced.
Wow.
And then the question is how much knee pain on that is like 4, 5, 6 times that amount that are even more than that that's actually happening before they've gotten a knee replacement. So those things are going out there.
You know, you're talking about 700,000. I just want to give people, everybody's worried about the economy right now and the debt structure. Take that 700,000, did you say?
Yeah, 700,000.
700,000 times all in with rehab and surgical fees and everything leading up and before and after. Add another minimum of $70,000 to $100,000 per surgical intervention.
Right.
That's a monster number. That's huge.
And then add to the point that where our population is getting older. So that means that number is only going to be going up.
Well, you know, there's in today's world, in the new healthcare system, they kind of just put a Band-Aid on us and make us, you know, go away later on early because they know they can spend
money. Yeah, you just go up to a certain point, and, okay, you can go in the closet over here and we don't have to worry about you anymore.
That's it. Take these two aspirin and call me when you're dead. I didn't say that.
Okay.
Actually, I did.
But then, in the same token, we're going to also talk about like the hips themselves. You're looking at 300,000 surgeries. They're talking about the possibility of some of these hip surgeries, because the other thing is technology is coming on the medical side. It's coming quick, and people are getting in and out of the hospital faster. But it still doesn't mean you want to go out and get your hip replaced. I mean, it's still not a quality – the quality of life issue is going right down the drain. And I think even though you might improve it with the medical intervention that might help and make things work a little bit better, but, you know, you take a look – and I always do this too. It goes back to the blue zones.
No,
here we go. Here goes the
gun. Really,
look at the people in the world. I think really we should look at the people in the world that have the best health, that live the highest ratios to 100, and what are they doing? And they're, and part of that, and we're going to talk about that, there's quite a bit of exercise, movement, flexibility.
You know, you're talking about my people, right?
I'm talking about your people.
That's right.
I have to talk about it. I have to
give
them credit.
The top of the mountain, top of Sicily, right?
Yep.
We know that.
So yes. Sicily, okay, yeah. the Greeks, the Costa Rica, you got a place, the Seventh Adventist out of California. In Japan, there's some places there, too, that, again, they're doing things. They're doing Tai Chi. They're moving and stuff like that. They're doing free range of motion on their bodies. They're doing good food. There's good quality, less stress. All the things in our triangle we talk about, structural, chemical, emotional, they're all doing it right. And they're not on medications. They're not on tons of medications. So why we can't do the same thing that they can do?
Well, I thought that, you know, the reason that health went down was because of medication deficiency.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's another one. Yeah, let's put that one in the closet.
Okay, we won't talk about that one today. Okay. Yeah, right. It's the byline that unfortunately so many of the big pharmaceuticals want us to believe that we can't function without certain drugs. And this is seriously get into this. I had a patient the other day that came in and had degenerative hip and had had it for a long time. And I kept getting them, you know, trying to get them into a position where they would do what they needed to do.
Right.
And as we've treated so many other, whether professional athletes or, you know, just guys like you and me and people who responded, and this man decided not to do that, and he went out and he had a hip done, right? So he had a total hip. And he came back in. He's about 5-6 weeks post-surgical, and he said, I felt great the day after my surgery. I didn't have any pain. And I looked at him straight in the eye, and I said, why do you think that was true? Why do you think you didn't have any pain? And I said, don't you think that you would have a repair process? If somebody cuts you surgically, there's going to be some pain someplace. Why do you think you didn't? And he looked at me, and I said, let me tell you why. Because when they replace that joint and they sawed off your bone of your leg and they put the implant into your pelvis, they also cut the nerves. And when the nerves aren't there, you can't feel the pain. It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at me like, no, that's not true. I said, yeah, it's true. Think about that for a minute.
Yeah, and I think it's amazing how this feedback mechanism, like you're talking about pain and how it feels. Not to get too complicated, but the thing is the proprioception, the interconnections of how your balance goes, that goes to the nervous system. Everything goes to the nervous system. So coordination plays a part, and all of a sudden now we've taken that out of the play too. So how does the body really hold itself when it's working with this particular new piece of equipment in your body?
Well, you know, the waddle gait of a bad hip, right?
So yep.
They waddle. It's a more widespread gait, and they're walking around.
The penguin.
The penguin gait. Yeah. And so here's this guy, he's got no pain, but he's still waddling.
Right.
And I said, you know, I know you're not hurting, but can you do anything more than you did before? Well, I can do this. I said, show me. And I said, you've got a long process of rehabilitation, my friend, and you're still showing the waddle because everything else that started this thing is still. So, Scott, let's talk about knee and hip pain and how it – let's get into how it happens. We're talking about the sequelae. People know that when they have – hip pain and knee pain, it's significant. It hurts. They're debilitated. They can't bend over and put their shoes on. You know, they have to jerry-rig their, you know, their socks and all kinds of stuff. They give up doing, they can't even bend over and pick a coin up off the floor. So at the end of the day, what causes this? How does this begin to come about?
I think there's multiple things, but number one is I think when you talk about alignment of the body, there's certain things that have to work together, and you also have to make sure that you've gotten those joints working the way, you know, you take a look, starting with, especially with the knee, I think about 80%, and I don't know if you agree with me or not, about 80% of the problems with the knee usually comes from the hip or the ankle or foot mechanism not working correctly. So you have something called pronation and supination. It's kind of how the foot is, like the flat feet you might have heard about. And you're supposed to be an arch in that foot. And we have things like shoes that sometimes we don't use our toes the way we're supposed to, and we start losing the integrity, strength in the foot, and all of a sudden the foot starts to go flatter. When that happens, mechanically things start to change. That means that lower part of your leg, it's called the tibia, it starts rotating in, so that puts a little bit more shearing forces, and it's, you know, it's a misalignment over a period of time, and it's, you know, frictional forces, compressional forces, maybe some shearing force, maybe some, you know, throw on top of that some of the football injuries and things we get hit upon, and all of a sudden the alignment problems become, they become stronger and stronger up to the surface, and now we've got, you know, tendonitises that go up there. The tendon can't take it. The body can't take the load. You get friction problems that cause inflammation around the part of the body, and this misalignment goes all the way up. You can literally have a flat foot creating a headache on somebody because of all the changes of the body's abilities to compensate.
Oh,
can go all the way up to the head.
Sure, the talus is, you know, is one of the bones in the foot that supports that whole mechanism, and it has neurological input to every system, including the brain.
Right.
And if that alignment isn't there, as you're talking about, you have headaches, neck pain, shoulder pain. You know, interesting situation, you know, when you're dealing with these types of phenomena, we adapt, we ignore things. You know,
right.
we put up with, we take an aspirin for, and time goes on and we get this little bit of twinge and something, and then we take an aspirin to get rid of that, and, you know, well, it goes away, and, you know, if I don't walk around, if I do this, we start giving up our life, and until we can't give it up anymore.
There's a point of no return. I think that's the thing, is we're not listening. I think we should have probably a class and listen to the signs of our body. I think that's one of the things.
Good
that
idea.
I think we should, because what do those things happen? I have a little pain in my knee. There's a reason for that. The body's saying, hey, you're doing something here. It's not appropriate. Oh, I'll take an aspirin and cover it up. And we find all the time, it's kind of like this series of compensations that happen. And all of a sudden we get to a point of no return. And listening to the body, listen to yourself, ask the question, why don't cover it up?
This Wednesday evening, the 4th of September, you know, we only have 4 months left of this year. It's like crazy already, right? It's gone, just blown by. But Dr. Scott Lamp, my guest in studio, your host this Wednesday, will present the topic. We're going to talk about the natural approaches to knee and hip pain and how to really resolve them, not just deal with them and put up with them, but how to resolve them. Don't let them get to the place where your doc says, well, you know, we're going to watch it. And my brain goes, watch what? Take care of this thing before, you know, watch it till it goes bone on bone, and then the bone degenerates and so forth. And then, you know, I'm sure that we'll, you know, touch a little bit, maybe about 3-4 minutes, you know, on what happens when the joint's totally destroyed. Well, there's this thing out there called stem cell, and,
right,
you know, we'll give you a little bit of data on that as well. But nevertheless, and, you know, for those of you who know that the Results Center for Healing has an affiliate called Ageless Health Regenerative Medicine Group that is involved in stem cell applications. But this is about how to fix the thing before you get there. I mean, get it done before you have to go to that place where you've either got to have joint replacement or you got to do it. Now's the time. And Dr. Scott will put it all together for you so you can understand it. He'll tell you why, what's happening, the weight distribution. And we're going to talk a lot more about that as the program goes on. But that'll be this Wednesday, 7 p.m. at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Join us. I promise you, those of you who heard Dr. Scott know he's brilliant and he has an amazing ability to tie things together. We're coming up to the first break, and we have to, you know, pay attention, those who fund this program and bring you Dr. Tom Rizal live. So don't go away. We will be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizal here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizal live. We are in studio. Give us a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. We've got a topic today. We're talking about hip and knee pain and how to fix it, you know, naturally, you know, without all the drugs, the surgery, the things that are going away. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp, be your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Dr. Scott, welcome back again.
Yep.
Let's talk about this. Let's go back to the incidence of this and talk about why we're seeing such an increased prevalence of these two joint spaces breaking down. What's the deal?
Well, I think one of the things we just talked about is the alignment situation, but I think inactivity plays a part here too. And we talked about the blue zones before. Inactivity, those people are always constantly moving and walking and things of that nature. We're a sitting society. We're doing more things, or in front of computers and that kind of thing. that creates a problem for the integrity of our joints. We got to get the joints moving and flowing. There's a good range of motion. We have things called cartilage that actually need to be fed through the whole series of joint. We start walking sometimes and we don't use the whole joint to actually feed that cartilage. You need that whole cartilage to be moved, and we're losing ranges of motion. That can accelerate some of the problems that we have here. We talked about shoes. Shoes can sometimes create a problem. As a bipedal person, we're supposed to have, when we do a heel strike, where our heel hits the ground, it's supposed to splay the toes out. The toes are supposed to grip. We don't get that with our shoes so much. And we start losing things like toe extension of our toes or the flexion of our, kind of like the ankle. Does it go into what they call dorsiflexion fully, or do we extend our leg back fully? That's going to start creating problems and shortening up our movement, and when we do that, we start building up maybe possibly some scar tissues and things of that nature, and things don't work as well.
You know, we both treat a lot of athletes, and right. There's a lot of trauma. There's a lot of alteration of blood supply to the right. joint spaces. There's muscles that are misfiring. In our business, we have muscle organ patterns. We have nutrition that's related to certain muscle pathways and so forth. But in today's world, particularly in the good old United States, we have so many modifications of our food sources, GMO, hybridization,
exactly.
and so
yeah.
forth. Does this add to it by causing an increased inflammatory cascade?
Yeah, because what happens is we have a certain amount of leeway until our body has irritation. Once we eat foods that are inflammatory in nature, that's going to possibly bring us up a little bit more inflamed and very easy to irritate something. So recovery time comes extremely less. And we take a look at places where, you know, like, again, omega-3s, which are very, very important in the diet. There's a lot in the fish base. And we find that the United States doesn't have a lot of omega-3s in the body as opposed to some of the other countries. And it's an anti-inflammatory piece. And we don't have that. We have a minimum amount of that. So we're not getting the proper nutrition to run these systems for our bodies. We're nutritionally deficient. We don't have magnesium and zinc that sometimes are not put in our fertilizers or in our foods. And the food one itself is, like you said, is a huge, huge, huge piece.
Well, here's an interesting thing. I was reading an article the other day that, you know, has supported all the things that you say and that we've taught our patients over time. You know, the traditional approach when somebody has joint pain, particularly mm-hmm. hip and knee pain, is, you know, take an NSAID, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory,
right.
which is an aspirin. Right. The problem is that, yes, it knocks down the inflammatory pathway, but it competes for a receptor within the joint that attracts something called a sulfate ion. The sulfate ion mm-hmm. is what actually heals the joint of the cartilage. And then subsequently, if the competition's there, the sulfate ion can't do it, so you have rapid degeneration that takes place.
Yeah, it stops anything. Part of the inflammatory process is to heal. But if you put something that blocks everything, it really doesn't heal. It just covers up the pain until it goes and disappears, and all of a sudden now I've got a degenerative case that's actually increased to some extent. So, again, our foods that we're doing and what we're doing to ourselves, it's kind of criminal when you take a look at some of the things that we're doing. We're trying to cover everything up.
This Wednesday evening, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter at the Result Center for Healing in Fairfax. Join us. It'll be 7 p.m. And listen, those of you who have heard Dr. Scott know that you're going to walk away with a huge amount of data and information. And this is an opportunity. Don't put up with this silliness. Don't put up with this hip and knee pain when it can be fixed if you really understand the mechanism and you're willing to be proactive in your health and take care of it.
I mean, if you're having foot problems, I mean, a person would be good going for this. And anything at lower extremity, that means your lower leg. Do you have any problems with your knee? Do you have problems with even crossing your legs? In some of the cases, especially when you're doing hips, you really got to take a look at the pelvis and the low back to some extent too, because they can refer to these areas and cause some of these pains. So if you have problems rolling over in bed, is there a problem there? Do you have a problem getting up from a chair and getting up? This is a place for you to come in and find out some of that information and see what we can do for you.
You know, I said earlier, this is a situation where the ankle is connected to the knee, connected to the hip, connected to everything else, but conversely...
connected to the jaw.
And the jaw.
The jaw's a big one.
And but the low back as well, those nerves are the ones that make those muscles, the hip and knee, work properly. And if that low back is not in position, or if those nerves are being stretched or they're being irritated in some way, those muscles not working. We're coming up to the midpoint of the program and have to take a break in a second or two here. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on this or anything else that you have in mind. You know, it's the fall, and our kids and ourselves, we're back at work and school and playing sports. This is an opportunity to ask the right questions. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozell Live continues now on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rozelle here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are in studio. My guest today, your host this Wednesday evening at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Scott Lamp. He's going to be talking about the natural approaches to getting rid of hip and knee pain. You know, many of you have been told that, you know, you have degenerative arthritis of the hip or degenerative arthritis of the knee, and there's not a lot that you can do except for steroids and drugs and NSAIDs and things of that nature. And at some point down the road, you're going to have to consider a hip replacement. Well, guess what? Maybe not the truth. So wouldn't it be great to be able to find out what you can do about it and make a difference, like, you know, be in control and say, no, I don't think I'm going to do something that is going to be permanent intervention. You know, some artificial something that's being put into my body, if there is a way of solving it otherwise. This Wednesday evening, you will have that opportunity. This coming Wednesday, 7 p.m., the 4th of September at the Rozelle Center for Healing, Dr. Scott Lamp will be your host, your presenter. All you need to do is go online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. And go down, you'll see the ad for it, and just click register. We'll confirm. And those of you who really don't like computers, well, 703-698-7117, 703-698-7117, and tell our staff that you'd like to be there so we can reserve and prepare for you. Before we get going, Dr. Scott, let's go to the phones. Diane, how can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. I've spoken to you before, and every time it's been so beneficial. My husband has been advised to have total hip surgery. He's got a bone-on-bone situation as a result of probably in his youth playing football and skiing. Are there any alternatives?
Dr. Scott.
Well, I mean, it depends on case by case. We've got to take a look at how much degeneration is in the hip itself and how much bone-on-bone is really that point, and if it's totally been remodeled. But the other hand, too, is what's caused that and what other changes, as you see, especially lower from that point and also into the pelvis itself, what changes have been made through the years or have not been changed that contribute to this, and that plays a big part. You can get angle changes on how your hip fits into the socket. There's a ball on the femur that comes up into the socket of the pelvis. There's different angle changes depending on how those are. You got to take a look at the feet and ankles. If recalls of a patient I remember having at one time coming in with a knee problem, and nobody ever looked at their ankles and looking at the full spectrum of how that leg and the rest of the pelvis go in combination. So this one, I think, Tom, is also on a case-by-case basis, when you especially have bilateral, depends on how bad that hip has gone. And then you've got some stem cell issues here, too, as a possibility, but depends on how far that's gone.
There's, Diane, when you look at any joint space, whether it's knee or whether it's hip or whether it's a shoulder, you know, there's multiple things that you take into consideration. The first thing that you have to understand is each one of these joints move because there's muscles that surround them, move them, you know, allow them to have function. And if the muscles aren't working, you got to find out why they're not working. And it can be trauma to the muscle, but often, and more often than not, there's a neurological pathway that's not being initiated properly. And until that's restored, even with surgical intervention, the joint space is not going to work. The pain's going to be gone, but the joint's not going to work.
Yeah, there's times when you have an injury that might happen in the past that sometimes the body will be, to protect itself, will actually turn one particular muscle group off, and then another muscle will take up the slack and get tight. You see this a lot of times with sometimes the hamstrings being tight. The hamstrings are not really the problem. It's something else that's turned off, and the hamstrings are trying to take up the load. So you've got to stay looking at that, and actually you got to restore some of that other musculature and call it muscular balance. This is another one of the things we talk about in that class we're going to do on Wednesday night, is about muscular balance, because that plays a big part in it.
It's very important, Diane, that, you know, when your husband looks at doing anything, let me give you a personal experience. You know, back in the day, I played Division I football out at Kent State University in Ohio, and I was a running back, and, you know, it was, got hit a little bit more often and differently than a lot of things occur today. And with martial arts and accidents and so forth, I've had several surgeons that look at some of my joint spaces and say, you know, this guy is a surgical candidate. And my brain says not happening because of the things that I know. So, you know, between, spinal alignment and acupuncture, low energy light laser, nutritional protocols and so forth, I've gone years without having to do any, you know, considerations of that type of thing. Now, you have to take each case and look at it relative to the overall health of the patient, their body weight, their activity level, the things that they're exposed to, and so forth, and make that decision accordingly. There are some patients who I've seen joints that are destroyed, the bones are completely destroyed. There's no option. They've got to do those things. And mm-hmm. when that happens, you know, the pain's gone. But you want function, and you want optimization, and you want to do everything you possibly can, including even the consideration of stem cell therapy before you consider anything, you know, as far as a permanent resolution, call it surgery.
And even after surgery, the thing you're going to look at, too, is that what's the muscle memory that's there that's the body's thinking about before the surgery? You got to take a look at the institute, what caused that in the first place. And sometimes if you don't correct that, that can also create some more additional problems farther down the line.
Diane, give us a call if we can be of any further help, and encourage you to have your husband come to the program on Wednesday evening and have Dr. Scott talk to him individually. I promise you he'll at least have a better understanding across the board and be able to say, okay, listen, I've got some tools now that I can do something with. 888-630-9625. My guest in studio, Dr. Scott Lamp. We're talking about the natural approaches to having the elimination of knee and hip pain, and it's possible. You don't have to put up with the stuff. But the whole idea is don't deal with it forever. I mean, don't keep adding the drugs. Don't keep putting the steroids in your body. Don't, you know, each time you do that, you're putting a bad prognosis on the future.
I think, Tom, you go back to it's a do-it-yourself program. I think it's not do-it-yourself by medications. You got to take control of your life.
That's right.
And if you don't take control of it and let somebody else kind of do it for you, the best person to help you is and your best indicators are listening to your own body and going out and doing the things that need to. And there's quite a few little things. I think, Tom, we talked about before, you talked about organ referral. And this is another one that sometimes people don't realize that might play a part. Every muscle in our body has a connection to the nervous system, to a organ system. And, for example, let's take a look at the knee. And I think over the time, and I don't know how many times you have, Tom, but I think probably about maybe 12 to 13 times through my career have had people either go in for some type of exploratory surgery in the knee, we're not sure exactly what it was, sure it was, and then you find that there's a relationship between the gallbladder and a muscle in the back of the knee that keeps you from hyperextending called the popliteus.
Popliteus.
And that's a stabilizer of the knee. If it doesn't stabilize, that's going to cause additional friction, things break down, so forth. You take care of the gallbladder, and guess what? Knees better.
Yeah, it goes away. You know, and one of the things I get people to understand, and it's funny, even when I talk to doctors who don't do what we do,
right.
Going back a few weeks ago and so forth, and we were talking about chronic pain pattern and foot pain, and I said, how many of you understand, and there's about 85 guys in the room, I said, how many of you understand why gout affects the big toe? And there was, out of the 85 guys, there was probably about 7 or 8 that raised their hand immediately. And I said, okay, you guys put your hands down. I'm like, I'm not talking to you. And I said, the reason is very documentable. I said, what's on the big toe? What starts there? And a guy sheepishly in the back raised his hand and so forth. And he said, you know, something that was closely related. And I said, the reason gout starts on the big toe is in the acupuncture system, the liver channel, the liver meridian, the liver connection is there on the big toe, liver one. And in Asian medicine, what it's telling you is that there's a stagnation of that energy, and subsequently the toe gets big. Yeah, in Western medicine, we're talking about uric acid crystals,
right.
But it's a whole energy pathway. So going to what you're talking about, there are multiple things. There are nerve roots, there are organ systems, there are energy pathways, and so forth. The knee with the gallbladder is the same thing. Somebody who has a bad liver, bad gallbladder, mm-hmm. is going to have bad knees, period, end of story, always.
Right. And I think the interesting thing with when you take a look at, and you ever have a chance to, or if you want to, just curious, or going through the Internet, which can sometimes be dangerous, but looking through.
Dr. Google.
Yeah, there you go. Take a look at the meridian. Does your pain run, does a meridian from all the different channels, the 12 channels on each side, there's 2 channels run through the middle, does one of those meridians run through it? And I think, Tom, you actually had a patient. It was interesting. They had a problem, I think, in the second toe. They went to a podiatrist, a sports medicine, orthopedic. They couldn't figure it out. And I think within 2 treatments, it was taken care of because the stomach meridian runs through
yep.
the second toe.
Yep.
So it's like you're only as good as what you know. And I think one of the things is if you take a look at it, I call it the river runs through it. If the river runs through it, that would be something to take a look at. So when I look at acupuncture, in at least in regards to these things, I'm looking through, does the meridian run through it? And then also, what's the relationship to the organ, to the muscle groups around that particular area, especially in what we're talking about now? But and that's a kind of a good way to take a look at. So even if I was thinking, the other one that really comes to me a lot of times is like, even like it was away from subject, but it's carpal tunnel. You have the lung meridian and the large intestine meridian and the triple heater and things that go through the arm. You got to look at those because they go through the area. It runs through it.
And we can make much more complicated and start talking about the emotions that go to these joint spaces as well. But we'll stop at that because that's really, they're going to say, what? I think I'm 888-630-9625. Give us a call. We're talking about the natural approaches to eliminating hip and knee pain. And that's going to be the subject of our in-house presentation this Wednesday evening, the 4th of September. Dr. Scott Lamp will be your presenter. And again, brilliance. He's going to be there and he's going to give you data and he's going to show you, you know, how all these interconnected connections come about. Do yourself a favor. If you have any problems with this, if you're on medications, if your doc is saying, you know, I'm looking at down the line, right, we're having to do surgery, we're going to have to do a replacement, why wait and watch? You know, why don't you take some action? You know, what are you watching for? You're watching to see this joint slowly deteriorate, degenerate, and to the place where now you have not only a huge joint that's swollen, and then, you know, go online. You know, those of you like Dr. Google, side effects of knee and hip surgery, and then hold your breath, my friends, because you're going to see that it's unbelievable, the things that can happen.
And there's a lot of things when you do those surgeries. You got to be doing the exercises and things, and you start losing it. Your range of motion, like a lot of people think, oh, I got a brand new knee. Well, you know, getting to like how far you can bend a regular knee to a surgical knee, they're looking at, can I get 110 degrees out of it? Can I get 120 degrees out of that motion? Which means you can't get all the way into a squat position. You're going to have some problems there. So, you know, you got to take a look. There's things you're going to sacrifice. Blood clots is another possibility. The surgical problems that possibly happen with some of these things. So it's not something like, oh, I'm going to get this fixed and now it's going to be taken care of. You got to do some work even after the surgical aspect. You got to put some time into it.
It's unbelievable that people are unwilling. We're such an expedient society today. We want people either to do it to us or we want a magic wand that, you know, can take place. But, you know, to be able to participate on an ongoing basis, to redevelop a little core, to get some function back in our body, to realize, you know, often I'll tell a patient, if you had, you know, a high-performance automobile, a Ferrari at the top of the game, right, would you put 87 octane in it or would you go down the street and put 90? And the patient looks at me and says, what do you mean? I said, it's the same thing. Your body is at a much higher level than that car and you're putting garbage in. I said, why? You wouldn't do it to your automobile. Why would you do it to yourself? And you're seeing your engine, your body begin to break down. It's like unbelievable. Jeff, thank you for calling. How can I help you?
Hey, So I have been an athlete all my life. I'm 56. I've got a dual total hip replacement. I'm 4 weeks out from the right one. Had the left one done first. I'm also fused L4 to S1. So, you know, I've got connected mobility issues associated with through the sacroiliac. And so now I've got this radiating pain that is wrapped around my right side up above where my kidney is. And my question is, you know, is first of all, anti-inflammatories at this point in time in the healing process for the hip replacement are somewhat contraindicated in terms of the bone, you know, trying to maintain bone growth into the prosthesis. So my question would be is stem cell into that SI joint? You know,
so Jeff,
what thought process?
So Jeff, you've had so much done at this point. I wish I could have, gotten to you long before you ever considered any kind of surgery. But here's the situation. Inflammatory pathways, as Dr. Scott said early on, are necessary to heal, but you don't want them out of control. And if you're going to do stem cell, you have to do stem cell. You have to, get rid of all the anti-inflammatory drugs and so forth before you do that, because it needs that inflammatory pathway to expedite it. But now, going back to the pain that you have that's radiating up into the back and into the kidney area, that's structural. Dr. Scott. Yeah.
I think the other thing, too, is sometimes you might think about natural things, too, but even so, when I think when they talk about stem cell, I've had stem cell done on myself. I can't be, at the time you're taking it, you can't be taking turmeric either.
No.
That's going to be another thing.
Or fish oils.
Or fish oils and things like that. So there's considerations where you have to kind of, what am I supposed to do? There's a lot of different options here.
So, Jeff, look, here's the bottom line is, one, when you look at something like this, you have to look at it across the board. You have to look at all the biomechanical elements that affect everything that's going on, from your sacroiliac and so forth. Your sacroiliac now is going to end up with much more impairment because of the stress pattern that's coming about as a result of the surgeries that you've had. You've got all of this stuff that mechanically is not working, so the motion, increased motion goes above and below wherever you have the surgery. So the sacroiliac joint has one huge ligamentous band, but there's muscles that hold it forward and backwards. The fact that you've got so much going on, my guess is that you're going to have an adrenal fight-flight problem going on where your own steroids aren't being produced. The muscles that are associated with that aren't working the way they're supposed to. There's a lot that can be done, but to say yes or no without really taking a look at it would be doing you a disservice.
You got to get those muscles balanced as much as you possibly can, and also see where the stresses are to really going to help you out.
We're coming up to a break. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. Jeff, give us a call. We'd love to help you out a little further.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. Dr. Tom Rizzo here. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. We are in studio, and you can find us here at 888-630-9625. And when we're not here, real simple, you can do it one of two ways. You can go online at rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com. Or simply call the office at 703-698-7117, which is the number that you're going to use to register for Dr. Scott Lamp's program this Wednesday, the 4th of September at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. What are we doing? We're talking about hip and knee pain, but the natural resolution of these things without having to resort to surgery, steroids forever, and so forth and so on. I want to remind you, and so many of you don't know, that starting next weekend, Redskins open up, first game of the season, which means that Dr. Tom Rizzo Live will be on Saturdays at 4 o'clock in the afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. So mark your calendars and make sure you don't make the mistake of saying, oh, I missed the program and wondering where we're here. We're still here, but for the next 17 weeks, beginning next week on Saturday, we will be Saturdays only for 17 weeks. At 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 to 5. And as always, you can always find the program by going to rozellecare.com. We have them posted. You can go to rozelleradio.com, and you can find all of the back programs going back. I think there's hundreds of them there now, and they're listed as far as what they are. But this Wednesday evening, you need to join us. Dr. Scott,
yeah.
As always, what are you going to cover?
I think there's actually six major issues that we're going to talk about here. One is going to be the alignment we've talked about before. We're going to talk about scar tissue, how it plays a part in this. We're going to talk about the element of nutrition, how it plays with it. There's also, Tom mentioned earlier, the elements of emotion. There's something called an IRT pattern. I'll just leave you there gaping at what that is, but it's called injury recall technique and how that plays a part. There's also something called proprioception, which is a big term. We'll explain that, but how your body is in balance and how we get around on our two feet and how that plays a part with it. So there's multiple sections there we're going to work on and talk about and how that applies to you.
You know, it's going to be a really, really applicable program. So many people are suffering from this. And interesting, Dr. Scott, and you didn't bring it up, is that, when you go across the board, there are more women that suffer from degenerative knees and hips
yes,
than there are
genetic,
guys.
Yeah, there's gender differences, and I think is something called a Q angle, which is actually from the upper leg to the lower leg. There's a certain degree of angle. Women have larger pelvises, so basically what happens is the legs actually buckle in slightly, think of it like knock-kneed slightly. So what happens is if you take a look at the professional sports like women's professional basketball, there's a 40% increase in injuries in knees than the men's do, and they also are playing less games, and it's because of that angle. So there's some changes differently between males and females depending on the true anatomical differences.
It's important that you just don't put up with. It's important that you understand that there is resolution, that if you become proactive and are willing to do what it takes to get it done, you can get things back in the greatest majority of times. It's important that we are the captain of our own ship. You know, as you know, I wrote a book some years back. It's been about 6 years, I think, now or so. And Ageless Health, Health as a Do-It-Yourself program. And it's really true. Everything that happens to us is either directly or indirectly related to what we do with our lives. Here's an opportunity to fix yours and to really, you know, get away from the potentiality. And here's, you know, here's an interesting thing. People who've had hip surgery and they haven't had a problem for years, and now all of a sudden they have a problem again, same place, and they can't understand what's going on. Well, particularly with women, as they get older, they lose bone. Yeah. And they become osteoporotic and osteopenic, and that bone doesn't have the mass to hold it together.
And we're going to talk about some of that, too.
This Wednesday evening, join Dr. Scott, give us a call, register for the class. And don't forget, starting next week on Saturday, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Dr. Tom Rizal Live will be there from 4 to 5 o'clock for the next 17 weeks because it's Redskin season, and they're going to wipe us out. Anyway, talk to you later. See you soon. We love you all. Bye.